Yeah, a song like that, standing on the promises of God, is very similar. There's a lot of old songs when I visited Africa a few times, in Zimbabwe especially, where they sing these songs that nobody knows, because what they do to make them up, what they do is take scripture. They're very good. I mean, I've played some over at Morden before and wasn't their cup of tea, and I think I've played some here and I asked you and you said you didn't like them much. A long while ago, when I first come here, because when I went to Africa, it made a big impression on me with the way, this is what's re-injected what I'm going to say, the way that the people live out there in the parts we went to, in Africa and India, they are so needy. We're so blessed here, aren't we? We have so much. I know we moan and groan about, oh, I want a new car, or I want an extension, or I want this, or I want that. They're just things that really that don't matter. But because we're in the West, it's just normal, isn't it? And there's nothing wrong with that. But when you go somewhere like that, if you ever get the chance to go somewhere like that, and you see how people are living in tin shacks and wooden, you know, bits of old, what they call them, pallets that they find laying around from lorries that are just dumped on the side of the road, and they take all the pieces of wood and make a little tiny 12 by 12 or 10 by 10 shed, if you like. Probably your sheds in your gardens, apart from mine, because mine's absolutely falling apart, I need a new one, but probably most of our sheds in our garden would be like the Ritz compared to the way they live out there. And that's been like that for a long time. But when you go out there and see it firsthand, it really makes a big impact on you. And then you hear the way they worship and the way they sing. If we was in that situation, I would guarantee you that when we come to church, we would be on our knees. Not just praying for our loved ones and people that are not well, etc. There's nothing, read my lips on this, there's nothing wrong with any of that. I'm not saying that. But we would be in here on our knees, probably with tears running down our face, praying for some food tonight. Praying for some water, some clean water, depending on where you go. Praying for someone who's at home in this tin shed or wooden shed that's very ill and can't get any medicine or any doctors. Now that is when it really hits home, how blessed we are. So, seeking the face of God is what I've called this. And when we come to God to pray, we go into our private place, don't we? If we're at home or wherever we are, and we go into our private place. Most of us come to God and tell him all our problems. We all do it. God knows all about it, each one of us. We ask him all sorts of things. We pray, when we pray, we pray for all manner of things. It's never the same thing. It's like, sometimes we're repeating our prayers because there's something that we really want answered and it doesn't seem to be coming and being answered by God. We sometimes pray on our own. There's just different ways we pray. We sometimes pray in groups, in house groups, or with friends. If you've got friends, Christian friends, sometimes we pray with non-Christians. I've had the pleasure, and I suppose most of you have had from time to time, of actually being able to pray with a non-Christian who's going through a situation, maybe a neighbour or a friend, and they come to you, or you say to them, would you like me to pray with you? And you'd be amazed. We know that a lot of people, when we witness to them, that they don't always want to hear about Jesus, because they call it religion, and they, oh no, I'm not interested in all that. I used to be the same. I was no different. If someone had come, no one actually did it, but I can imagine what I would have said, and I know what I said to the first person that ever said to me about Jesus, and I've told you that before. I told him to go away. He was a raving lunatic. I didn't believe in anything like that, but that was then. My eyes were fogged over and I couldn't see. But as I say, that's so, don't be surprised when, if you say to someone, would you like me to pray with you? You might be surprised that they might go, wow, yeah, please, that's wonderful. I don't know how to pray. Or, that, you know, for whatever reason you're offering to pray. And sometimes people might come to you and say, I know you're a Christian. can you pray for me? Or can you pray for my family or whatever it is they want praying? People sometimes do this. And I've had that happen, and I expect most of you have had that happen from time to time. So sometimes we pray in groups. And sometimes, or a lot of the time, we pray on a Sunday morning as this part of God's church, God's body. We are the body of Christ. This is a building. We are blessed with this building. And many other churches around are blessed with buildings. Again, let me just say, we are so blessed, and I say that from my, really meaning it from my heart, we are so blessed to have a roof above our head and a building to come in which is fairly warm. Other parts of the world, they haven't got that. When I was in Africa and India, we prayed and worshipped on the rooftops. They didn't have a church. We went on the flat roofs and we worshipped. And it was fantastic. In Africa, they don't have many, especially in Zimbabwe where we went, they didn't have churches. So they worshipped in rooms, in schools, in classrooms. It was changing all the time. They'd say where we've got to go. You go to a class, a school, they'd rented a room in a classroom and they filled it up. And a lot of the time it was done in big tents because people like us go over there and we hire big tents. Churches do this and fill them up. And it's all day. It's continuous. It's wonderful. So, there are all sorts of praying situations that we have. But do we think there is a right or a wrong way to pray? I don't think there's any conventional format to praying. Now, we could have this conversation afterwards, but I don't personally, that's my personal view, I don't think there's any special way of coming into prayer apart from what I've already said in the beginning. When I was a new Christian, I remember saying to people that led me to Christ, if you like, people that was praying for myself and my family, the first people I knew that was Christians, I said to them, I got saved, I'd asked Jesus into my life, I was born again, but I didn't have the foggiest idea. I'd never picked up a Bible in my life, I'd never prayed in my life as far as I remember. And I said to them, how do you pray? And the most simple way, they just said to me, just talk to God. Which is true. It does get a bit more complicated. I think we complicate things as we go through our Christian life. But if we just open our hearts and just talk to him, it's just like two or three of us having a conversation together, or one or two of us just talking to each other. And that's how we talk to God. Seeking the face of God is a good way to start. And this is what I felt our Father in Heaven speak to me, or the Holy Spirit, if you like, speak to me last Thursday and reminded me of when I was in Africa and India, how we come in to pray. We didn't just come in and start praying about whatever the situation was. We come into the church, and instead of opening in prayer, it was straight into worship. And there'd be people walking around, not sitting down, walking around the church, worshipping and praying. And the guy that took us out there, Temba, you've met him, he came here once, huge African guy. Do anyone remember Temba? No, quite a few years ago, wasn't it? Yeah, lovely guy. When we stayed with him in South Africa, in his house, he was lucky to have a house. In a black township, and we stayed in this house with him. No gas, no electric, water was about the only thing we had, and colour gas heaters and things like that. We was all sleeping in different rooms. There wasn't a lot of furniture in there. I don't know if I've told you this before, but at 4 o'clock every morning, Temba would get, he wouldn't mind me telling you this, he would laugh. He would get out of bed, we was all snoring, you know, Zed's sound asleep, and all of a sudden we'd hear Temba walking around. First time he did it, we wondered what on earth was going on, but Temba would be wandering up and down in this on this There's a concrete floor with tiles on, with these slippers. You know what these slippers? Slip, slop, flop, flop. They flop, don't they? In slippers, the ones with no back on them. And he's flopping around, and it's all you can hear was. And all of a sudden, he's like, praise the Lord! And he'd start praising. 4 o'clock in the morning, like, open the door. Really? But that is the way he was brought up. 4 o'clock in the morning, praising God. And we wondered why he was so powered with God when he was in ministry. That's why. That was why he was so full of God. He would just get up so early and praise God. So coming into the presence of God, not just with our problems, not just with our wants and desires, but coming into his presence and glorifying him, giving him praise. I said to April yesterday, I have a good way of putting this over. I've got to be careful what I say. Let me say, if those of you that are married, if you and your husband went away for a few months or a year, and whoever it was, let's say the husband went away and he came home after 6 months or a year, and he walked through the door, opened the door, and there was his wife standing there who he hadn't seen. He loves her, doesn't he? We love our wives, don't we, men?
Yeah.
Of course we do. So we walk through the door. The wife's standing there, really pleased to see us. Haven't seen us for a long time. We walk through the door. What do we do? Do we walk up to our wife? We haven't seen for a long time. Do we walk in, caress her, cuddle her, kiss her, tell her how much we love her? And we're just overwhelmed to see her again. It's so wonderful to be back embracing the one we love. Or do we walk through the door, walk up to her, and say,
you still here?
No. And say to her, come on, let's go to the kitchen and bake a cake. Read my lips. I didn't know how to say this. In other words, straight for the kill. Judy's trying to figure out what I'm saying. Someone explain to her. I've got to be careful what I say. In other words, we love our wives. We don't just want our wives for one thing only. I'm talking about sex. Julie. We don't just want our wife for one thing. We love her. God's the same. We don't come into God's presence and just straight for the kill. Lord, we want this. Lord, we want that. Lord, can I do this? Can I do that? I want to pray for my neighbour. All the things we pray for. It's not always for ourselves. We pray for all people.
What you're saying is we need to caress the Lord.
We need to caress him. Can you imagine how God feels? This is what God's put on my heart. Can you imagine how God feels when we come into his presence and fire up a quick shoot, quick prayers on our wants and desires? And sometimes it's, oh, we really need to pray for this. And we can do that. But now and again, wouldn't it be wonderful to come into his presence when we've got the time? And instead of just going wham, straight in for what we want and then shooting after whatever we're going to do. It's coming into his presence and worshipping. Tell him how much we love him. Mark opened in prayer today, and the reason I asked for someone to open in prayer today, it was a reason for that. And he didn't do what I thought he might do. He actually opened in prayer and said, thank you, Lord, and praised him a bit. So well done, Mark. But we often do, don't we? How many of us are guilty? I'm guilty. Who's guilty? Put your hand up if you're guilty of coming into God's presence and just coming for your wants and desires. We do it so often. So Lord, we are sorry. And I really believe that God wants me to put this over to me and to you as well. Some of us might be really goody-goodies and you're really good and you do it all properly. So, coming into the presence of God with praise and worship, no matter who we are, no matter how shy we are, no matter how bold we are, we can come before him. So let us Let's look at a few scriptures, because it actually guides us. God's word guides us through all this. It's there, but we tend to read these things and not realise what we actually...
I know, I mentioned it last week, didn't I?
You're so good.
Yes,
yes.
My
brother
here.
Hello, Simon.
April, could you get me a glass of water, please? There's no water there, is there? Okay, they're all rushing around. For the tape, everyone's rushing around and getting Bibles, because I said last week, where's your Bibles? Okay, so I'm going to just read two scriptures to you, one from the Old Testament, one from the New, which talks about what I'm... actually mentions all these things, so... Jean's getting a Bible.
That's stuff like glue.
Well, that just goes to show how long it's been there and never been touched. I don't think they're Bibles, Jean. No, that's right. Oh, you're trying to get that one out. That's it?
Don't need to explain to me how to move a
book. Oh! I thought you was getting the red ones. They're not Bibles, are they? They're actually redemption hymn books. They're really old ones. They're probably worth a fortune then. Yeah. Okay, Isaiah 40, 29 to 31. Very short pieces I want to read to you. I'm reading from the New King James Version. And it says, "He gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength." Thank you, April.
Where are we?
Isaiah 40, 29, 31.
Must be nicely perfect.
Shall I start again? Sort them out, Chris.
Bless the garden.
Sort them out.
Oh, okay. No, it's
you could be my bouncer for the day. Right, he gives power to the weak. I don't need you to read it, Mark. I can read it for myself.
So chapter 40, remember?
You might find that these Bibles are slightly different because I'm reading from the New King James.
29.
40, 29 to 31. I started telling you, haven't I, doing this? I haven't. Right, he gives power to the weak, and to those who have no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not grow weary or be weary. They shall walk and not faint. So that's Isaiah. Now turn to 2 Peter 1:4. Okay?
Yep.
Oh, yeah. This is the Living NLT. Right, so... "And because of the glory and excellence, he has given us great and precious promises. Those are the promises that enable you to share his divine nature and escape the world's corruption caused by human desires." So we can come right in to the throne room of God and lay open our hearts before him with no fear. We read in the Bible where people come to Jesus to have their needs met. But what would Jesus do? He would very often redirect their thinking, something like this. He would say something like, I'm going to read the scriptures in a minute, but I can just try to put it into sort of a context that we can think how we would speak. "First, lift your eyes off your daily problems and seek God first." Now I'll read the scripture to you, which is Matthew 6:33. You'll all know this one. "But seek first the kingdom of God," Jesus says, "and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you." And in the New Living Translation, it says it's slightly different. Seek the kingdom of God above all else, and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. So that's a modern translation. So we are not to worry about our problems. everything. We've all got problems. We've all got things that we're going through. However, whatever they are, they will all be different. We're not to worry about them. We all know that. But rather seek the kingdom of God before all else. So when we come into his presence, seek first the kingdom of God. Listen to what it says in Matthew 25, 26 and 33 and 34. Again, New King James Version. Therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap, nor gather into barns, yet their heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more worth than they? But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. It would be hard for us to see the kingdom of God without surrendering before God first. Even David encouraged us to look to God first. Listen to what it says in Psalms 112, 1-3. Praise the Lord, how joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commands. Their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be Hang on, where are we?
What's that one, Paul?
That's Psalms 112, 1-3. They themselves
can't see it. 112. It's 112.
You found it?
112.
Yeah. They themselves will be worthy. Can't say that word. And then I'm going to move on. And their good deeds will last forever. And in 111, 4 and 5, he causes us to remember his wonderful works, how gracious and merciful is our Lord. He gives food to those who fear him. He always remembers his covenant, his agreement with us. Don't these words just fill your heart with joy? God's words. King David wrote these words, but he knew something, didn't he? I mean, where he says there, I know it's a modern translation, but how joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in obeying his commandments. Their children will be successful everywhere. There's some great things in there. They give us that mountaintop experience when we read these things and take them into our heart and meditate on them that we talked about the other week, when we feel really uplifted. If we follow these commands, we will be blessed and we will be a blessing to many. Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly to the throne room of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in times of need. And Ephesians 2:18, you can't keep up with this. Ephesians 2:18, for through him we both have access by the Spirit to the Father. We can come straight right into the throne room of God. This is our destiny, to know the will of God and to seek first the kingdom of God. When we pray, let's come into the throne room of God and seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. And all else will just drift away. He will sort everything else out. This is what I felt he laid on my heart. When we come to him, really, it makes us wonder, and I don't know the answer to this, do we actually have to pray for things? Or do we just come to him? He knows our problems already, doesn't he? He knows every hair on our heads. If we come to him and praise him and worship him, like he said about feeding the birds, they don't sow nor reap, but he looks after them. When we come before him, if we just worship him and praise him and give him glory, will he automatically sort everything out? I know he loves to hear us talk to him, so we could have long conversations about this sort of thing and debates about this sort of thing.
It does say, ask
and you will be given. It does. There's lots of ups and downs on all these things, but foremost, we must come into his presence. So how do we do this? Again, we've got some psalms here that I want to read to you. Psalm 100, 1-3. I quite often open the service with this one. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. And that reminded me of Temba in Africa at 4 o'clock in the morning. Come before his presence with singing, as exactly what he used to do. Singing and praising God at 4 o'clock in the morning. And Psalm 95, 1-3 says, O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. For the Lord is the great God and the great King above all gods. Amen. He is. So before we pray, remember how we are to encourage, be encouraged to come before God and praise him. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And I remember saying it when I first read this in a different translation in the King James. All these things will come. All these things shall be added unto you. Keeps ringing in the back of my head. It was the first time when I first read it. So if we come before him and put the kingdom of God first, it says, and all these things, everything will be added unto us. So just before we finish this morning, there's a song we sing. Just listen to these words. We actually sung it today. I didn't know April was going to pick this song, but there's a song we sing, and it says, if my people will humble themselves and pray, if they seek my face and humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin. I will hear from heaven and heal their land. Lord, heal our land. Father, heal our land. Hear our cry and turn our nation back to you. Lord, hear our land. Heal our land. Hear us, O Lord, and heal our land. Forgive our sin and heal our broken land. Lord, we bow our knee. We humble ourselves and pray. Lord, we seek your face and humble ourselves. Hear our cry and heal our broken land. I wonder if a bold thing to say, especially when I'm being recorded, I wonder if every Christian was to pray, Lord, heal our land. Come before him with praise and thanksgiving. Maybe get on our knees and really not just say, Lord, heal our land, but really pour out our hearts and pray for this land. I wonder what God would do. I know this was directed to the to the Jews. If my people will humble themselves. But it's now to us as well, because we're now under the new covenant. There's no law. We're under grace. So this is directed to us. So God's not just speaking to the Israelites, to the Jews. He's speaking to us too. We are his people. If they seek my face and humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways, we're all guilty. But we don't want to finish on that note. We want to finish on a high. We're going to carry on and worshipping, to worship our Lord Jesus. We've got plenty of time left. We're going to play some worship songs and worship him. And we'll see through the songs, as we sing and praise God, what he's going to do with us this morning as we lift up his name and glorify him. We'll see, we may break, if we're led by the Spirit, to pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, April.